wanted to read Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And then we're going to go take it word for word. Amen.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
In verse 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. For a sacrifice, we're going to look at it, a sacrifice in the Old Testament. For a sacrifice to be living, something had to go wrong. You know, when they brought a perfect lamb, chose a lamb to bring to be sacrificed at the altar. But when that lamb had a blemish on it, it had already been dedicated to God. It couldn't be used for anything else but for God. But it had a blemish. It wasn't perfect anymore. It couldn't be sacrificed. So they took it back into the herd, and it was a living sacrifice. Only if it was no longer acceptable would the animal, the offer to God, continue to live. In other words, it had a blemish, so it couldn't. It was chosen. It was dedicated to God. But something happened that rendered the animal unfit. It was no longer satisfactory for a sacrifice. But it had already, as I said, been dedicated to God. What happened to such a sacrifice in the Old Testament? It was returned to the flock. There was no way to reverse the dedication. It had already been dedicated to God. And there's no way to remove the blemish. So it's set apart. That's what Paul is talking about here. That we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice. You know, back in Genesis, by the original creative act, every human being was set aside for God's purpose. But something went wrong. The fall. There was a blemish. What was to be the paradigm example of God's distributed authority, the very image of God Himself. Remember, He made us in His image. Perfect. But it came unfit. It was already dedicated to God. God dedicated us, mankind, man to Him. But then the fall, it became a blemish. We existed for Him, but were unfit to fulfill the purpose. His purpose. What was the solution? Jesus, praise God. Jesus reconciled us with the Father so that even though we were stained, we could go on living while being separated for His service. Man was dedicated for His service. The fall the service, the sac that was became tainted. That's what it means to be a living sacrifice. When we read that scripture, present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's what it means. You know, the Greek word for living implies having some duration, existing, or being alive. In Genesis, the second chapter, verse 7, it says, man became a living being. We were made in God's image, animated by God's breath. He breathed in man, created for God's purpose. He said, go and fill the land in perfect harmony with the Creator. Praise God. That's what Adam and Eve were. In perfect harmony with the Creator. Man existed as his regents, equipped to carry out his orders in all the world. And then something went wrong. We all know that. We know the word. The fall. The tragic results meant that mankind, dedicated at creation for God's purpose, was now unfit for the role. Only the sacrifice of God Himself could restore the original harmony. And someday, when the grand plan of redemption closes, those who return to God, who loves us, the God who loves us, will once again be perfectly fitted for the role. Praise God for Jesus. He came and died on the cross for us, for man. Praise God. You know, we need to understand that a living sacrifice is a sacrifice that's not perfect. How well we know, amen? A living sacrifice has blemishes. That's who we are. But by the grace of God and the obedience of Jesus, we are the blemished sacrifices, still alive after the altar ceremony. Praise God. What we could not do, Jesus did for us. I mean, we need to think about it. We need to just stop every now and then, maybe two or three times a day, and think what Jesus has done for us. Amen? You know, in the process, He allows us to be set apart, to continue, even though we have been put on the altar. We're the redeemed wrong stuff. Not the perfect offering. We're just where we're supposed to be. Can you believe that? You're just where you're supposed to be? I mean, every now and then when I think about that. Really? Am I really just where I'm supposed to be? You know, knowing this, really, it makes it a little easier to handle those days when the blemishes really show up. We're still His own. We're still dedicated to Him. We're still set aside, even when the blemishes look like they're going to overload us. Amen? You ever been having those days? Not weeks, just days. No, it's not about perfection. It's about grace. Though we were dead and buried with Him, we live. Praise God. Remember the last week we talked about baptism. We're going into the water. We're buried with Him. And when we come out, we're raised with Him. Praise God. You know, what You know, it's really awesome. To me, it's really, really awesome to think that we're a living sacrifice dedicated to Him. Then going back to Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 1, it says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. I don't want to be just acceptable. I want to be wonderful. I want to be excellent. Do you? I want to be the best. But the Greek word that is translated acceptable literally means well-pleasing. In other words, Paul is saying God is well-pleased. He's well-pleased with you. It's not just that God finds us just good enough. God finds us perfectly fitted for His purpose. We delight Him. You know, sometimes that's kind of hard to believe, amen? That we delight Him, but that's what He says. God is well pleased in us because Jesus gave His life for you and you and you and you and you and you. Praise God. God finds us perfectly fitted for His purpose, and we delight Him. You know, what are the characteristics? What characteristics does God require of the sacrifice? They must be spotless. Remember in the Old Testament, the lamb had to be spotless. It had to be as perfect as it could be. But it took, ultimately, the holy God had to be sacrificed. Jesus had to be sacrificed. He was and is and will be the only perfect being. Amen. And He did it. You need to say, He did it for me. Praise God. His sacrifice covers it all. Paul, in this acceptable, is implying the perfection of the sacrifice of the Lamb of God. It is acceptable in the meaning of exactly what God requires. So we are exactly what God requires. If you and I have presented ourselves as a living sacrifice, even though there was something wrong, and there's something wrong with all of us, amen? So that we couldn't be consumed in the sacrifice, what was wrong has been completely covered over. Praise God. I mean, as I think about it, as I meditate on it, that it's been, the blemishes have been completely covered over. You can now be perfectly fitted, a fitted sacrifice that God intended, because He has removed the obstacle of imperfection. You know, there's plenty of times when you and I will not feel like we're perfectly fitted for God. You ever gone through those times? We fall. We sin. All our blemishes seem exposed, displayed as flashing neon signs. Yet God says that we're perfectly fit for Him. That blows my mind sometimes. It blows my mind sometimes that God says that we're perfectly fit for Him. It doesn't matter how you feel about it. You know, that's strange. That it doesn't matter how you and I feel. In fact, the more you dwell on your feelings of imperfection, the more your stained history will capture your attention. But God, listen, you and I are living sacrifices. Of course we're stained. That's the only way we can be living sacrifices. Remember the deal about the lamb that came, was blemished? He's alive. He's living. The perfect one was slain. But God counts us righteous. Blows my little pea brain sometimes. That God counts us righteous. Who are you going to believe? The inner voice that keeps reminding you of your unrighteousness, your unworthiness, or God's voice proclaiming his delight, that he's delighted in you. You're his kid, and he loves you, and he delights in you. Praise God. We're to act on what God says, no matter how we feel. Whenever you get in the mully grubs and you get to feel like, oh, poor little me, whoa, whoa, whoa. Does anybody ever get that way? God says we're perfect. God says we're his delight. Because Jesus, because of what Jesus did, we need to act on what God says, no matter how we feel. Get up and do what the Father tells you to do. Let your actions demonstrate your acceptance of his proclamation. Praise God. We're acceptable. We are accepted. Praise God. Romans 12, verse 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do not be conformed. You know, the world is kind of preoccupied with fashion. The world is consumed with kind of, what's next? Let's be conformed to this. Let's do this. Let's do that. You know, from business to politics, to education to religion, the world flocks to the fad game. Either corporate education, or bipartisanism, unity, or religious tolerance, but it's all basically the same. It's what man can think of next. It's about being entertained. Do you like to be entertained? Do you like to be tickled? It's a headlong rush away from God's revealed plan for living. Don't be conformed. Don't be conformed to this world. You know, if you want what the world has to offer, just wait until tomorrow. But if you want what God wants, you got to look back and see what he's doing. Paul says, don't be shaped or molded or fashioned together with the things of this age. Be radically different by being transformed. Is that what we all want to do? We want to be different by being transformed from this world. That's what we claim. We all claim that we're transformed. We're different, amen? We're under grace. We've been transformed. We aren't like the world. You know, sometimes we need to ask ourselves a few questions that reveal our deeper unconscious conformity to the world. Now I'm going to step on some toes. I like to step on people's toes. And I like to stir the ant bed and get everybody stirred up. Do you support or consent to an education process that holds up success as the primary goal of life? Do you think that being educated is knowing a lot of things? Do you push your children to become a significant part of the culture by playing important roles? Do we try to push our kids or grandkids into being important? Or is knowing God and His will at the top of our educational objectives? Don't be conformed to the world. Are our business practices as boys, as the boss, or an employee governed entirely by God's character? I mean, you know, this gets down where it gets the nitty-gritty. Is compassion at the top of our best practice list? Is money simply a means of honoring the king? That's what we're supposed to be. Amen? Would you pass up promotion if it jeopardized your ability to be of service in your community, to let Jesus shine through? Would you be willing to pass up a promotion? Or are you climbing the corporate ladder or looking for a way to help someone from the basement? Are we trying to get better and better, higher and higher, and successful? Are we trying to help people now, the ones that need help? Do you think life is about just getting ahead? Do you struggle with significance? Do things look greener someplace else? You know, there's a lot of times, if we're really honest with ourselves, we say, that sure looks like a greener pasture over there. That sure looks better over there. Amen? I mean, if we're honest with ourselves, or are we content to live as God provides? Is your faith so vital that it can withstand even the cruelest blows? Do you still love the Lord when things go wrong? Do we still serve the Lord when everything goes wrong? I don't know about y'all, but sometimes we go through those things. Amen? Sometimes it happens. Are we so in love with the Master that we're unshakable in our devotion? That's what it means to be not conformed to the world. Or do we find reason to doubt? Do we feel that I deserve better than what I'm getting? You know, we got to be honest with ourselves. Sometimes we feel that way. Amen? Oh, no, y'all don't. How much? We need to take, you know, take notes, and we need to look at things. How much of our lives is fashioned together with this age? You know, this is kind of reality day. Paul said, do not be conformed to this world. Going back to Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Man, I've preached that, thought that, meditated on renewing of our mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. By the renewing of our mind with the word of God, that we may prove. Wouldn't it be nice to prove that God's will is for you? Paul suggests that the transformation process leads directly to proving God's will. Paul used the Greek word, and I can't pronounce it, but may prove. What Paul is saying in this is that renewal has a goal. That goal is wrapped up in the verb that what that verb means. It's not about offering proof. It's about discerning, trying, and distinguishing. It is to examine and therefore prove by some method. You know, what Paul is saying is not suggesting that renewal of mind will give you divine insight into God's perfect plan for your life. I mean, everybody wants to know what the plan is for our life. Amen? That's not what he's talking about here. What Paul says is that as the result of renewal, your transformed life will act as a testing ground for God's will. You will be the proof. The purpose of the will of God will be demonstrated in you. That's what he's saying here. To make proof by the renewing of our mind, that you may prove that the purpose of the will of God will be demonstrated in us. The goal is not for me to get the inside scoop what God's doing. I mean, we all think we want to know what the inside scoop is, but that's not what Paul's talking. The goal is that I am the vehicle that proves what the will of God is. You know, sometimes we think that if we could just get the right frame of mind, we would suddenly have our lives planned, all mapped out for us. Thinking like this is really out of character with God. God never shows the cards before it's necessary. Why? Because if he showed you everything you're going to go through, we might crumble. In Acts, the 9th chapter, verses 15 through 18, when Paul was knocked off of his donkey. Remember that story? Ananias came to Paul to lay hands on him so that he could receive his sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Lord told Ananias that he, the Lord, would show Paul how many things he must suffer for his name's sake. I don't know that any of us here in this room could take that kind of announcement. God graciously hides the truth until we're ready to receive it. I mean, if he showed us everything we've been, that some of us have gone through ahead of time, we'd tuck our tail between our legs and ran, if we're honest with ourselves. Amen? The other thing about our preoccupation with knowing the future is a form of idolatry. It denies the sovereignty of God and blocks our practice of dependence. Since God wants us to have constant communication with Him as Father, you can be assured He will not reveal what you don't need to deal with now. Praise God. You know, we all worry about the end times. We all worry about what's going to happen. We all worry. You know, just quit worrying about it. Just keep trusting Him. Keep relying on Him. So that we may prove His will. You know, God's will is showing itself in us. How? By the renewal of our minds. By submitting to Him in every facet of our lives. That includes the plans for tomorrow. Submitting those to Him. When we take on God's perspective, we become the proof of God's will. It's a moment by moment trust in His reliability. I mean, that's what it's all about. Moment by moment, trusting Him. Trusting Him. What is the Lord's Prayer? Give us this day our daily bread. Is it enough for us? Give us this day, Lord, our daily bread. What we need today. Is it enough for us? Praise God. I keep going back to the do not be conformed to this world. I mean, it's to me, it's so important. So important, and it's so easy. It's so easy to be conformed to this age, to this world. We need to be asking God. I mean, you know, just what I brought up about the education. I mean, everybody wants to climb the ladder of success, amen? And I'm not saying it's not good to be, anything wrong with being successful, but let God put you in the place. Don't you go work at getting there, amen? We're to be living and doing what God says every day. Trusting Him. Trusting Him. Amen. So, Father, we thank You and we magnify You. We glorify You and we thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy. Lord, we just asked that we thank You that we are a living sacrifice. That You love us and that You care for us. And that You're leading us moment by moment. Lord, we thank You and we glorify You. And Lord, we're not going to be conformed to this world. Lord, I just ask that You show any of us, each of us, just remind us if we ever get into that place of being conformed to this age. to this world. Lord, all we want to be is conformed is to you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We magnify you and we glorify you. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus died on the cross, poured out his blood for each one of us, that he bore the stripes on his back for our healing. And we magnify you and glorify you.